As we quickly approach our third month of social distancing, we thought we'd break the monotony and do something different for Agenda's mid-spring 2020 issue. With our second offering from the Fashion Whisperer, celebrity stylist Tyron Mays curates a colorful editorial style Dancing Queen with dancer and Miss Puerto Rico 2018, Kiara Liz. And from that editorial came our beautifully vibrant cover. On our back cover is supermodel Tyson Beckford, who is also featured in his electrifying piece, The Tyson Effect. These two stories are filled with exclusive interviews and eye-popping editorials. This is Kayleen Peoples, and I am excited to interview Tyron Mays as he shares the backstories of these two stunning fashion stories.
Thank you once again for having me work on this new issue. It's exciting.
It is, and it's so colorful. I just love it. I love the color, the cover. I love the edition with Tyson Beckford. Tell me all about everything. Let's start from this cover. Tell me about this fabulous cover.
Okay, so the Tyson cover, when I worked with Tyson a few years back, I was asked by my photographer, Ron Cantarsi, who would you want to work with regarding male model for a shoot? And I said, well, the only person that I, if I can request one person, that would be Tyson Beckford. And if you can get Tyson, you can just get anyone else. I could care less, you know? And so he was kind of surprised, like, oh, really? So you don't want to look at cards and you don't want to look at models and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, because really there was no man at that time that has made the impact that he has, not only just in the fashion industry, but in the world. You know, the scope of the modeling industry changed when the Tyson Effect kicked in. And if I had a choice to work with somebody, he would be the one that I would want to shoot with. And a few phone calls were made, and Beth Ann, who represents him under Soul Management, said yes, and they put everything together. Tyson was very instrumental in doing this, but you know, you have to follow a certain protocol. So we needed to make sure we cleared it with management. And next thing you know, I was on the set with Tyson Beckford, and really kind of ushering him back onto the covers because, you know, he's moved on and done some other things, done quite a bit of acting and other things that came down the pipeline and, you know, entrepreneurship and things like that. But I really wanted to kind of like bring him back and put him on the covers because he still looked awesome. The body was just insane. He really kept himself up and his supermodel peak. So with time.
Tell me about the Tyson Effect. Tell me about that title and the interview.
Right. Well, so what happened was when you and I started working together on the issue that was the follow the corona virus COVID-19 issue, we wanted to have something that was exciting. So I felt like Tyson would be a really amazing. And at this point, he has kind of entered into that legendary point in his career where he's kind of the kids are calling it GOAT, greatest of all time. And I thought it was a great time to put that stamp on it. And the whole idea of the article and the interview with Tyson was to really show how much of a pioneer he was. He wasn't the first black model and male model in history, but he was the first one to have broken the level of barriers that he broke and to do something we had never seen before, which was to create the world's first male supermodel that had major contracts, that was on the runway, and that can ride parallel with the supermodels, the female supermodels of the time. And no disrespect to other models like Marcus Schenkenberg and any of them out there. They were awesome. But there was something about Tyson Beckford that was so outstanding. So he became known as just one name, Tyson, that could stand next to the supermodels that had one name, Naomi, Cindy, Christy, Claudia, Tyra, you know, the only man that you can utter one name and evoke that kind of energy was Tyson. He came at the right time. He was he came up during the architecture of the supermodel, and at the time that they wanted to have the male equivalent to that was happening in the female side of the industry. And he did things that was unusual and things that we had not seen a black male model do, such as I remember I would see editorials that I would open up and I saw him like in this amazing Scottish kilt, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that one.
Yeah. The juxtaposition of cross culture and bringing that strength of that black Jamaican man wearing something that was, I think it was maybe goatee or something like that, because he was doing all that kilt collection at that time. To see that had such a huge impact on like people like myself, you know, who loved fashion, and there was a certain level of freedom where it was like, oh, you know what, I'm a black guy and I can rock a kilt too. So he did things that was unusual, unexpected, and I think it gained him such worldwide attention till he was rewarded with the coveted Ralph Lauren contract, which was, at that point, put him through the roof, through the stratosphere, and forever he would be known as the first black male supermodel to have a worldwide, multi-year, multi-regional contract. So I think that pretty much kind of sums up the Tyson effect, you know?
You know what? You're absolutely right. And it's funny because you actually answered a question I was about to ask you about the hurdles of being a minority and crossing that barrier, because you have to be so much more dynamic to even get to that point as a minority in this country.
Absolutely. A lot of it has to say about, not only is he really cool looking, he's got this unusual mixture where he has these Asiatic eyes, this very strong Jamaican bone structure with this square jaw and these oversized lips, you know, and that on top of an incredible physique. That's the thing that you can really kind of see just with your eye. But when you're in his presence, you understand why he is where he is. It's because he's so special. He has such a great popping personality. Mm-hmm. He embraces everyone around him. And I have to tell you, working with him was definitely like working with some of the greatest female supermodels that I've worked with. He brought to the table what a lot of models don't do. He brought a lot of creativity. So there were covers that I did with him in the past in which he just said, hey, can you just take this picture? And next thing you know, it turned out to be a cover. We weren't even shooting that. But because he has such a great idea of his image, he's really proactive and he's actually almost like another editor. Mm-hmm. And then we did some teaser shots and things like that where he sat in a tub, which gave the illusion that he was hot and steamy, inviting all of his lady fans to dare to step in that tub with him. So, you know, he really is really proactive and he does daring things. I got a chance to put him in fashion again that you normally just don't typically see. For black men, like spats and leg garters and big oversized patent leather ponchos. And he was really fun to dress and to work with. But of course, I gave you some skin too. Did you like that shirtless shot?
Are you kidding me? I stuck that man right on the mast head.
Okay. I haven't seen the mast head. Anybody that's listening, I haven't seen it because we've been working in parts. So I'm super excited to see that as well.
He definitely has a presence throughout the magazine. And in fact, it's such a strong presence that there's an energy that is literally coming off of him in the images.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to capture because at the time that we started to craft these images, he had just signed a contract with Chippendales and was kind of reviving the Chippendales franchise. This was a great vehicle for them to bring him on board, and it brought them a visibility that they had not had since the 80s. And it was kind of riding with the movie that he starred in. I think it was called Chocolate City or something like that. So he literally was with this troupe, and they do the stripping, and they do all of the acrobatic stuff. And He told me some naughty things he had to do in order to get prepared for the ladies. And I decided to not scare the women and children, but you know, he literally was throbbing on the stage of Las Vegas night after night after night. And he really had so much fun. I think he had even more fun retelling me what he was doing than actually doing it. But it was quite a ride. He does have an energy that if you're with the right team, the right photographer, and he feels comfortable, he will give you that energy. He will give you those images that just seem to live and breathe on paper.
And he does. It's a very alive issue. Everything about this issue is alive, which I love because, as you said, with the COVID-19 pandemic and all of the stress that all of us are kind of undergoing during this period, you need something that's kind of bigger than life.
There was one more shot that I want to talk about, which is that bowler hat where he's kind of tipping his hat. You know, that image, I have to give the person credit. I totally borrowed that image from this illustrator named Glenn Hansen. He's one of my favorite pop artists of our time right now. And he does a lot of pop culture illustrations, and they're really colorful and gorgeous. And he did this bearded guy with a mustache and a bowler hat, and he was shirtless and had suspenders. So the combination of the two shots, the shot that you put in your table of contents, which was those leather pants with the suspenders hanging, and that bowler hat, we actually shot it all at the same time. So it was pretty much, you know, I gave it two different pages. But I totally ripped that off of Glenn Hansen, so I have to give him some props.
Okay, well, yes, for props to that, and just a little slight correction, that he's in our masthead. That's where he's in.
He's in the masthead.
He's in the masthead.
Okay,
head,
so. Okay, great.
Yeah, but I think it's incredible. And I'm looking at the hat right now. It's by KTV.
KTV.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cool menswear line that, I mean, every piece that went down the runway was just stellar. And I was so happy that I was granted, because, you know, you have to go through this whole process of, you know, requesting the clothes for certain designers, because it wasn't just a commercial line. This was a very high concept line, like that waistcoat that he was wearing with the long tails for the double shot when he's sitting down. That's also their jacket too. I've never saw a jacket like that where it had that kind of nylon fabric, which made it streetwise, the street wear, but it still had the elegance of the tails from a tuxedo jacket. So I hope that people appreciate the innovation in that fashion piece. But yeah, KTZ is like super, super cool. I love them.
Okay. You know, it's funny because I didn't know I was going to do this in this podcast, but I'm looking at this incredible editorial that we have on page 40 of Agenda. People get the magazine, the one where he is sitting. The styling on this is just brilliant. I should know what this is called, but for women, we wear these, but the way that you have the socks,
they're garters. Really well-dressed, high-styled men in the past would wear sheer socks, and they would wear garters to hold their socks up. This way their socks never fell down. And I came across a shop in Manhattan called Fine and Dandy, and they kind of cater to that dandy guy, you know, the one that's very spiffy dressed. He has a three-piece suit. He has his Oxford shoes. He may have a walking stick, a bowler hat. He looks like a total character from a 1940s movie. Mm-hmm. When I knew I was shooting with him, I went in and I grabbed a couple of quirky pieces like that, and I thought it would just be just kind of a hoot, if I can say that, by rolling up the pants and showing that off, because where else would you see the whole like garter and sock look? So I was like, let's make it funky, let's make it street, and let's make it elegant and retro all in one thing. And it worked, and he loved it. He likes to do unusual, unexpected things. It came across really well.
You know, I think so too, because again, looking at this photograph, he's got tattoos, and I like how the shirt is even allowing a sneak peek of his tattoo, as well as the texture of the actual shirt juxtaposed with the textile of the actual jacket. It's just brilliant in so many ways, and all we know, someone who's not a fashionista or someone who doesn't really have a fashion eye, they're still going to really appreciate everything about this photograph, right down to the watch.
It's good stuff. That's Versace.
Yeah.
It was a great moment to pull all these things together. And just so everyone knows, this is exclusively yours. Like, it's never been seen before. So I'm hoping that everyone that listens to this podcast will just support Agenda, support artists, support our first Black supermodel, male model, and buy the issue, because these are going to be collector pieces, museum quality photography, great photos, really intricate, very smart, sharp styling, and great pieces that you're not going to be able to find in any and every store. So I hope that people will appreciate it and tear it out and hang it up on their walls.
Yeah.
And, you know, put it up on their wallpaper, on their computers, and things like that, because I'm super excited and really, really proud of my work here.
Yeah, it's absolutely breathtaking. And kudos to Mark Jacob for those silver shoes.
Yeah, those wingtip silver shoes.
My goodness. Oh, yeah. Wow. That just completed the whole look, you know, as with everything else in the editorial. So our cover model.
Front cover, yes. Kiara Liz, she is, for those who may not be aware, she was our Miss Puerto Rico 2018, and she went to the Miss Universe pageant for 2018 in Thailand, and she placed top five, which was just incredible, because if you can get to the top five, which means that you do the Q&A part of the competition. So we really got a chance to know her. Once she was at that point, I was asked to do a shoot with her. So my request back to management was that I would do it as long as I can make her artistic and make her fashion-y. She was down for it. Management was down for it. So I had the Miss Universe committee, her chaperones come in, and they were just loving every frame. And I just felt like we hit such a big home run with that shoot. What do you think about my cover? I was like, I hope she likes my cover that I was begging for. What do you think the final result looks like?
Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. We both agreed that that was the cover. I mean, you didn't even, I remember I told you, that's the one I wanted. I wasn't, nobody was going to like it.
I was, at first I was trying to go for like this other more classic cover. And then I was like, you know what, let's really just, let's put something out that's memorable. Like, you know, a beauty shot is, we see that all the time, but I think that what makes the cover really stand out and so special is those awesome sunglasses from LaRouche. You know, they just, when I saw them, it really kind of dictated the feel of the editorial and that what I was going for. But I have to mention, what really made my shoot magical was my makeup artist, Renee Garnes. Now, she is one of the greatest makeup artists of our time, and she's so underrated, people just do not know that. She's the hand behind Naomi Campbell's face. Like, she does her for the Met Ball. She does her for all these Vogue covers. She just did a cover with Lizzo. She's done Mariah. She does Angela Bassett. I can go on and on and on. When I showed her the collection that I put together on the rack, I said, I need something special, and I'm not quite sure what that is. And she was like, I think I've got what you want. And she came up with this modern day retro 80s video vixen makeup, and I literally walked in the room and was like, oh my God. This was the perfect match for not only the clothing, but Kiara has a face that can handle a lot of makeup and a lot of color. Altogether, it just made a huge impact.
Mm-hmm. And she has a beautiful face. I mean, she's a beautiful woman.
She's gorgeous.
Woman.
Yes, she really is. She's gorgeous.
I can see why she won Miss Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So she probably only didn't win the actual universe title because maybe that wasn't, you know.
It wasn't her time. It just wasn't her time. Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with anyone's beauty or intelligence.
Yeah,
sometimes no. It's more political how it's chosen, you know?
Yeah, and I think we were all assuming she was going to win because of the, you know, the hurricane had just hit, and she mm-hmm. was really the not only just the spokesperson for her island, but she was the voice of compassion mm-hmm. for her people. So I think there was a lot of high hopes that she would bring that Miss Universe crown home, but we know that she. It may not have won, but she landed on her feet with this this awesome performance that she appeared in with. I'm not great with my Spanish, okay? Mira quien baila. She won mm-hmm. the actual Mirrorball trophy. And for those who don't speak Spanish and don't know what it is, it's the Hispanic version of Dancing with the Stars, and I think it's called like Look Who's Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have something similar to that here in America. Like we have two dance competitions that are kind of similar. But this
right.
is the one that runs in Univision, and she went on. She was a big hopeful, and she totally crushed it, and she won.
Right. It's just really wonderful reading her interview. She's got such a humanitarian heart anyway. Not to throw myself in this, but I mean, mm-hmm. I did the beauty queen circuit, many beauty pageants. I know how it works. And a lot of times it's the ones that do have those humanitarian hearts are the ones that see something bigger than themselves
yeah.
that go on even after the pageant.
Absolutely. And there's something that you can't fake, and that's talent. And she definitely
yeah.
has a lot of talent. And, right now, dancing is a huge, huge, huge talent that's being portrayed on television. The competition
mm-hmm.
here is really big. This seems like it's a worldwide phenomenon. So to go on to a competition like this and to win, the sky's the limit for her. I was super excited. I was rooting for her. And when I heard that she won, it was just like, oh my gosh, I knew that this would be the perfect cover model and story for Agenda Magazine, and that's why I kind of bent your ear a little bit and asked you to kind of give me some questions, too, that you want to hear the answer to, because you have that pageant experience, and you've won, and you walked in those shoes. So for all the listeners out there, some of those questions were not mine. They were Kayleen's. But I asked for them. I did the interview, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, our publisher who has that experience, that her voice was there as well.
Oh, well, even if you hadn't told her, it wouldn't have mattered.
No,
I mean,
fine.
It's okay,
it's
you know.
Fine.
Well,
yeah.
I thought since you were the one that told me to come up with a question, so I
yeah.
was like, okay,
yeah.
well, yeah, I did do the beauty pageant thing.
Yeah,
I'm a Miss
totally.
California, Miss California. Yeah, I would be able to relate and ask her something, especially coming out of it, because that's always the
yeah.
big thing. Coming
yeah.
out of a pageant, coming after
yeah.
it's over, now
yeah.
what? You know, because that's really... How did it affect you? How come? I mean, if it wasn't for my pageant experience, I know that I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I would be someone very different
yeah.
right now.
And she addressed yeah. that. We're not going to tell all of the secrets because we
mm-hmm.
want people to actually read it. But she did address those things, those insecurities, and I think that doing this, going into a place where you're out of your comfort zone and winning, you know,
yeah.
I think that she has. Catapulted herself in such a high category in entertainment that I think the sky's the limit for her, and I think we're going to see a lot more coming from Miss Kiara Liz, you know.
Yeah, no, I see it too, and plus she's just such a natural,
yeah.
classic beauty.
Yeah.
So classically
yeah.
beautiful.
It's a modern classic.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new face of pageantry because Puerto Rican girls were always considered. And she's also another barrier-breaking pioneer that is making her way through entertainment and did very well in the pageant world. And we're starting to see a new face in beauty across all platforms.
I
you
agree.
Know, modeling, acting, singing, beauty pageants. People of color are now not only just on the radar, but they're actually winning and doing very well. And it's great to be just a little part of that. It's great to be a spectator of watching those barriers come down and seeing how people can create a whole new future for not only ourselves, but the next generation, our kids, you know?
You know, and I'd like to say something on that note, since we are talking beauty pageants, because I never get to talk about this. Now I have a
question. Okay. Yeah.
I was a Miss Anaheim America, African American, the first. Mm-hmm. And that was the first in the Miss California America pageant, which was a difficult process being the first in that particular pageant. But I was recently, I think it was about 2 years ago, I was the head judge of the Miss Anaheim America pageant. And it was the first in history that we actually, an African, and I'm talking African, not even American, an African won. And I was the head judge for that. And then just I think last year, it was the first plus size person to actually hold a title. And so that's, I just wanted to expound on what you were saying.
Wow.
The look of beauty, of what's accepted as beauty is now finally changing. And all of beauty is being recognized now, and even in the pageant world. And so I don't know, I just think that there's really something to that. I feel like there's a big significance of our having a Miss on the cover.
She's an outstanding, unusual Miss.
Yeah.
She has the face of a supermodel, you know? She she looks like a movie star, somewhere across between a movie star and a supermodel. And a lot of Misses can be just kind of girl next door. You know what I mean? But she has something really that's special about the structure of her face. And I think that if she understands that, she can go a lot further than a lot of other pageant winners. You know, we only saw this with Vanessa Williams, you know, who also had an extraordinary face. She was, she is extraordinarily beautiful, and it transcended it transcended the beauty pageant level of beauty. It went worldwide. It's a world beauty. It's a pop culture beauty. It's a music beauty. It's an acting beauty. You know, so I think that Kiara shares that interesting aspect about the genetic lottery that she hit. You know what I mean?
I love that. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's a genetic lottery.
Totally, totally. So look, it was super fun working with her too, because what was great was that she was creative. She was daring. She did poses and she performed in a manner that you normally don't see in the pageant world, because a lot of the beauty pageant girls are so controlled when they are being photographed. So they want to do princess poses with the T formation with the feet, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and we didn't want to do that. We wanted to look like a Harper's Bazaar, a Vogue, and a Gender magazine layout, you know, rather than a portrait of a pageant winner that's waving with the T formation. You know what I mean?
I know. I agree with you. That's always been the issue, too, with beauty queen / models. When I was modeling, I couldn't even tell people that I was a beauty queen.
Yeah, because they think that you're going to do number 14, number 72,
exactly.
Number 56. You know what I mean? Like, it's just good, dial it up. You know what I mean?
Exactly, exactly.
And then when you come in there and you're creative and fluid and artistic and know how to work the camera, which is a whole nother, we can do a whole masterclass on that, because it would take too long, you know. But you know that when that person has that IT factor, because they know how to manipulate and work with their body and the angles that the camera makes. That was the fun aspect of it. And then the clothing was just so beautiful. So all three of those elements together, her incredible beauty, her ability to take direction well so we can create these graphic images of her, and then the fact that she is an artist. And now that we can see, some of it comes from the fluidity of her dance ability. You know, at that time, I did not know that she was that talented of a dancer. Mm-hmm. You know, so now it all makes sense that she's won the mirror ball and the images are so lyrical and artistic. I think you went over your normal page count because the pictures were just so amazing. They were so artistic. It was worth it, but it was only because she's that talented.
Oh, no. You know what? I looked at your layout. I said, you know, I like to keep it to a certain page number because I know what works now price-wise. I know what's affordable.
Right.
And I was thinking,
right,
I don't want to go over, but
right,
I can't throw that out because, I don't know, we need that. And they said, no, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
I have to keep it. You know, and then
yeah,
we have all of our other contributors that have 4 to 8 pages. You know what I'm saying? It's like, forget it. It's
yeah,
staying.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We'll
you
just
know?
Borrow from Peter to pay Paul, and then I'll
exactly,
I'll dial myself back to somebody else. You know, we know how to dance. We know how
exactly
to dance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't want to shortchange the viewers and the collectors because again, I think that these images are powerful. I hope people are looking at it while they're listening to us talk. Like, they're sparkly and they're colorful,
yeah,
and they're sexy, and the makeup is so rich. She just looks like she's breathing
oh,
on the paper,
yeah,
you know? Miss Fame created a cosmetic line that is just wild. It's just amazing. So all of those glitter lips and rich, rich, heavily pigmented eyeshadows and things like that, that's Miss Fame. So I was super excited that Renee had gotten a sponsorship from Miss Fame and she sent a bunch of makeup for us to play with.
I love it. Thank you
yeah,
so much, Tyron.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a labor of love. And, you know, I love shooting. I love working with my amazing artists. And I love Agenda Magazine. But we got to give props to our photographers because the photographers
okay,
are just stellar. For the Tyson Beckford shoot, Ron Cantarsi, the pictures are just exquisite. He's somebody I've been working with for, oh God, I'm going to date myself now, like 25 years, you know, so he's like family in my house. This man is one of the reasons why I have such a long, illustrious career, because you can imagine I show up and we don't really have to talk much. It's just like he does this thing. He knows how to really light paint and do these incredible things with lighting. And he is a Caucasian man that knows how to photograph people of color so beautifully, which is not easy to find, you know, because Tyson looks rich, like his skin looks rich, the leather looks rich, the silver shoes are popping, you know, he's very talented. So I always love to acknowledge my photographers, Ron Cantarsi, and then for the front cover, Ezequiel De La Rosa, he's known as Ez Easy, you know, and he has an incredible studio called Ez Studios. He's the one that coordinated the whole getting Kiara Liz and opening up this amazing studio that just brings in all of this incredible light. And he's just a lighting genius and women love him. So they really like to perform for him. And he even kind of becomes the model sometimes. So he's, you know, between he and I, we're having a model off, you know what I mean? Like I'm standing to his right. He's in the middle and she's across from us. And I'm like, do it like this. He's like, oh, no, and do it like this. And then, so it looks like, you know, Linda Evangelista and Chrissy Turlington having a battle off, you know what I mean? So
wow.
It's, yeah, but that's how we get these really super sexy, feminine, artistic pictures is because we're the crazy guys that are contorting our bodies and popping our butts and, you know, and sucking in our cheeks and lowering our eyes and filling the girl up, filling the subject up so they know what we want. And this way they're able to perform at the optimum level. So I make myself a clown so they can look like a goddess.
One of these days, you and I are going to have a conversation about textiles and textures, because something I have noticed with editorials that I've seen you do personally,
mm-hmm,
you're
mm-hmm,
really good about choosing texture with the model and making that a character in the actual editorial. So one of these days, we're going to
yes,
talk about that.
Definitely. It's, you know, there are tricks in the business that I do. I always give little nuggets and jewels, but I think that that's going to definitely have to have its own podcast. But I'm glad that you see my texture play, because I don't like head-to-toe looks. I like playing with texture, playing with color. What does RuPaul say? Using all the crayons in the crayon box? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, let's just play. I like to, like an architect, I like to build a look. And even if you don't, if I'm just doing beauty, she styled head to toe. I'm like, yeah, put your shoes on. It's going to make you feel what we need in your face, you know, if you have on your shoes. And then we pull back and then we capture everything and then edit and fix it and figure out what we're going to run later on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little tidbit, a little... Yeah,
thank you for that, because we will have a discussion about it, because I've been doing this since 2004, okay? Mm-hmm. I've been looking at spreads and editorials, and I've appreciated them all, and I do. I have noticed the texture of fabrics, and I can't help it because it's a design-heavy magazine. I can't help it but notice the fashion.
Thank you.
And I think the choices are just exquisite.
I'm working with the best designers. I'm pulling from the best of the best. And not to give too much of our next discussion, but I am that kind of stylist that does not send an assistant in. I need to go in there. I need to eyeball stuff. I need to touch it. I need to layer it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you all my process, you know, when we have that discussion, because I work from home also. There's all of these different. So by the time I get there, it's all thought out.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat about Agenda Mid-Spring 2020. Issue 13.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. I loved working on this issue. I hope that everybody runs out, swipes their card, goes on Amazon, because I think it's on Amazon, right? It's pretty much can come right to their front door. So look, get on Amazon. Get this popping, amazing cover story. You got back and front superstars, and jump on our social medias and tell us what you think about the covers and the fashion layouts. I'm stylist Tyron Mays at Instagram, and you can always jump on at Agenda Mag on Instagram, and we want to hear from you.
This episode of The Fashion Whisperer was brought to you by Agenda Magazine and sponsored by Habibi Body, a collection of organic bath and body products for the most discerning senses. Habibi brings together smell and touch to create a sensory experience beyond basic body care. Habibi believes in the efficacy of pure, unfiltered formulations without fillers, added chemicals, or preservatives. Available at HabibiBody.com. Tyron Mays, The Fashion Whisperer, is an Agenda Pictures production. Purchase your copy today of the Agenda Mid-Spring 2020 issue on agendamag.com right here at the link below. Music by artist THBD.